what happened season-wise down there, but I do know that the action down there at Shelter Cove is actually really good. I heard of a lot of really big fish. I heard that. Well, I know that the commercial salmon season, they had a really small salmon season opened up in that area, and that only lasted up until yesterday or the day before. They filled that quota really fast, if that goes to show anything for how good the fishing was down there.
Okay. Yeah, and these are the big fall salmon, as you're saying. A lot of fish in the teens, 20s, 30s, and even a few 50-pounders. Now, were those 50-pounders brought in at Eureka, and did you get to actually witness that, or is that just a rumor?
No, I personally didn't get to witness them. I've seen definitely some fish in the 30s and probably a few pushing 40 that I personally witnessed. The 50s were definitely hung up on the scale. Okay. Some really big fish.
Because that's about as big as we see them around here. Before we lose you and before we run out of time here, can you touch base real quick on what the river action is doing up there, how the Klamath is doing, Trinity, et cetera?
It's definitely our transition time. Now that our salmon season in the ocean closed, we're definitely in the transition into river season, and the Klamath is actually doing really, really good right now. The fishing is really hot. Good amount of half-pounders. There's a ton of jacks in the river, which is great. They all bite the same. A good amount of adult steelhead right now. We're not quite seeing the decent numbers of adult salmon yet, but I know there's good push to the fish that are making their way in, and fishing's actually been really hot.
Okay, and this is beyond the estuary, beyond the, what does Baxter call it, the aluminum hatch down at the mouth?
Yes, definitely. A lot of the fish are actually being caught all the way up to Wichipeck. From Wichipeck down, we've been getting most of our report all the way up to Wichipeck, which is the confluence of the Trinity River. They're doing really good. There's definitely some fish in the Trinity, but most of them are in the Klamath, and the fishing has been great, actually.
Okay, and your guys at Mad River Outfitters, you guys, your specialty really is the fall and winter river fishing with the float boats, and I'd like to invite anyone from Santa Cruz who wants to have some very exciting fishing to contact you guys for guided trips. Can you give us the contact info, please?
Yeah, anyone's more than welcome to call. Give us a call any day of the week but Sunday, but the number is area code 707-826-7201.
Hey, thanks, Harrison, and all the guys up there at Mad River Outfitters. One last quick question. I know you've got some charter boats that run out of the shop in the saltwater, too, some six-pack boats. Are there any Pacific halibut still being caught, or is that bite over?
No, that bite has definitely not ended. Really quick, we've been actually seeing bigger fish lately. A lot of fish still. We're seeing a lot of short Pacific halibut. There's been multiple fish over 70 pounds caught. I've personally witnessed a 77 and a 79-pounder. The fishing is really good. Kevin and I actually incidentally ran into them out while black cod fishing out in 650 feet of water, where we actually got five in the past couple days as well. So, yeah, the Pacific fishing is going really good right now.
Okay, so that's still a chance. And you guys do have ocean boats running out of Mad River Outfitters in Eureka also, is that right?
Yes, and that's definitely going to continue until rockfish season ends, so that's definitely going to continue for the next couple months. Rockfishing's going great. Pacific halibut fishing is going pretty strong. So, yeah, so water fishing, as long as the ocean's flat, we'll be fishing.
All right, Harrison, say hi to the guys. Thanks for the call. You have a great weekend and catch a bunch of fish.
Oh, for sure. We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks for the report.
All right.
Always good to hear from those guys up there. They really kind of stay in touch with the fishing in that area year-round, which has been hard to get reports from Eureka. It's really gone from kind of a subsidy type of fishing more to a lot of sport fishermen. A lot of people have moved to that area, and they go out just to have fun, catch a few fish, barbecue some fish, and you know, whether they catch them or not, it's always a good time. Let's take a call from, it looks like, is it Michael on line three? Are you there?
Hey, Alan. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Hey, I was going to tell you guys, I got my first halibut.
Did you? Good. Well, we were talking a little bit about out of Santa Cruz for halibut. Tell us, where did you go out of and how did you catch it?
Actually, I went up to Half Moon Bay.
Oh, okay.
I caught it on the Queen of Hearts with Bob Ingalls. Yep.
All right. And were you guys down the coast towards Pescadero?
Yeah, that area.
Uh-huh.
Like above the 123 line.
All right. And tell us, Michael, how big was that halibut?
20 pounds.
Good job. And were you trying for ling cod when you hooked into it? Or
what? Yeah, I was.
And what were you using?
A shrimp bite with a dead anchovy.
Okay, well, you know what? You catch them any way you can, huh?
Yep.
And I bet that thing cooked up real nice.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me, we've got an up-and-coming Lingcod tournament here, the Who's Your Daddy tournament aboard the Stagnero boats. Are we going to see you there this year, Mike?
Of course.
All right. Are you planning on winning?
I think so.
All right. Any secret strategies or lures you're going to try to catch that big Lingcod this year?
I can't tell you that.
All right. That'll be our little secret. Michael, we want to thank you for being a loyal listener and calling us with some fishing reports once in a while.
You're welcome.
And we look forward to seeing you at the Lingcod tournament.
Of course. I look forward to it, too.
All right. You have a good weekend. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you too.
And let's keep rolling here. I mentioned earlier he might have been having a hard time getting through, but a good friend of mine, J.D. Ritchie, yes, he's still fishing probably as much or more than ever, despite the new welcoming son, Cooper, who's a big part of his life now. But J.D. and I have gotten to fish together for years back, and always good to check in with him. How you doing tonight, J.D.?
Good. Actually, I got a little involved in Monday Night Football. It wasn't your technical difficulties. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I only gave you a 15-minute warning. It's a, you know, that's a fisherman's attention span.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, you send out the email. I love getting it, and you always have photos on it. And you can always find out more information at www.thesportfisher.com. But it looks like this week's email, I mean, you've done so much. Last week we checked in with Kevin Milligers from Mad River Outfitters, and he told us about your trip to Southeast Alaska and the amazing halibut and silver salmon fishing. But most intriguing is the statistics, and the counts look like there might be up to 600,000 salmon returning up the Sacramento River, and that's where you guide 90% of the time in the fall, I believe. So give us some insight about what you expect for this year's fall salmon on the Sacramento.
Well, you know, last year they had estimated we were going to get a big run as well, 500,000, and that didn't really materialize. Now this year, of course, we had the unfortunate deal where all the commercial guys got shut down. So the lack of those guys fishing for the most part this summer should, I mean, I don't see how that can't translate into more fish up the river.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they may not be as far off base yet, but it sure hasn't really started. But things have been starting to switch to later and later in the year, the last few years, and definitely seen a shift. So whereas normally, you know, by Labor Day, the sack is loaded with fish, it isn't yet. But it's building kind of on a daily basis.
And you, I don't know if you were able to hear, but a couple callers earlier, and you probably stay in touch with Kevin Milligers and the guys at Mad River Outfitters, but they had the opener up there in Eureka, and the size of the fish are really big, and they just don't sound like the typical Klamath River fall salmon that are, you know, 10 to maybe 20, 25 pounds. They sound more like the 15 to 30-pound fish that the Sacramento system is known for. So I just can't help but think that there's a lot of those Sacramento River fish still staging up there off Eureka, and they're just getting ready to make that quick transition from that area to head up into the river.
Yeah, you know, last year was the same thing. You know, the water outside the gate looked pretty hot watching the satellite charts. And same thing this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're just kind of hanging out, waiting for a little, better conditions. Because the lower river on the stack right now is 70 degrees, and so, you know, the less of that they have to swim through, the better.
Okay. Now, when you go further up the river, does the water cool off? Because I was thinking that there was this system going on with the cold water releases where the fall salmon, the numbers are actually there, but they almost respond to the cool water releases up at, what is it, Keswick Dam, where they act more like spring run Chinooks, which migrate fast and don't slow down in the holes. But what you're saying is last year's numbers actually weren't that high, and it wasn't that the fall salmon didn't stop and stage, but just that the counts were actually lower than they predicted?
Yeah, exactly. What you do get is, like this time of year, you know, obviously we hadn't had any cold weather yet, but so you got the lower part of the river in the 70-degree range all the way up through Sacramento and above. You get up to Colusa, and it's, you know, dropped a good 5 degrees. Then you get up to, you know, the Woodson Bridge area, and I was there last week, and you know, it's 57, which is perfect. So that's kind of where the fish start to slow down. They blaze through the whole lower end and then start collecting up there, and that's why everybody's fishing up there as well. But then you get up this time of year up towards Red Bluff, and what traditionally used to be a hotbed of fishing, and the water's a little on the cold side. So.
Yeah, that's what, because maybe that's why I think that way is I typically would fish the Red Bluff area or Jelly's Ferry, and it seems like the water is cool there, and the fish don't stack up in the big, the large, deep salmon holes like they used to.
Right. Yeah, everything just seems to be changing. I mean, the American River, for example, I used to fish that starting, oh gosh, we, late August, third King's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then certainly in September, and then the whole month of October, from October 1 on, was just a guarantee that there's going to be a bunch of fish in there. Nowadays, that thing doesn't really even get going until mid-October.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The American was actually tapering off by the end of October, where now it's almost mid-season.
Yeah, and, you know, we're catching fish into December in there now.
Mm-hmm. So what are your predictions for the Sacramento River?
Oh, I think it's, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic on the 600,000 number. I mean, if we get anything near that, it'll be a banner year. I would say it's going to be, you know, we'll play pessimist here. Even if we don't get those big numbers, we're going to still have, you know, there's always plenty of fish in the sack. And, you know, starting any day now, really, we're going to start getting fish. And then last year, once we finally got our fish, which was about now, we went and we got, you know, fished every day, and we got fish every day until that first storm in November kind of blew things out. And so once it gets up and rolling, you know, you're guaranteed, not, well, I shouldn't say guaranteed, but there'll always be fish in the river, and whether or not they bite's a different story. But
yeah.
We rarely get skunked in September and October once the fish get here.
Yeah, well, I watched your counts last year, and you do real well, and it's a pretty consistent fishery and a good chance at fish. And a couple things you do unique. One is you do the night fishing trips up there in the Sacramento area, and you've been kind of getting away from the crowds more, doing some innovative type trolling and plug fishing in the lower sack, where you're catching real chrome bright fish with and avoiding the crowds, catching big large chrome salmon that are real aggressive fighters in the lower sack. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We're fishing anywhere from Sacramento down to Walnut Grove, kind of changes daily, but those fish are all travelers, and I would say 95% of the fish we caught down there last year, and that's all. We got a lot of fish down there. I mean, I started about September 20th and went all the way till mid-November. Those fish, chrome bright, have scales, purple backs, sea lice, and you know, actually a decent fish to eat out of the river.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're kind of interesting. We're trolling downstream with quick fish, and those fish in that mucky water have to actually turn and chase that plug down. And so this isn't the, you know, upriver when you're back trolling quick fish, people say it's an invasion of the fish's airspace or an aggressive bite because they're, you know, hormonal or whatever you want to say. These fish are chasing it down like they want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives you an idea that they're pretty fresh.
Yeah, because you're trolling down current a lot of the times, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I've been following. I get little tips out of your articles in STS. I'm like, wow, he's covering a lot of area. You figure the current flow is a knot or two, and you're probably going a knot or two, so you cover, you know, two times the area you would just back trolling those plugs.
Yeah, and down low like that, there isn't enough current to back troll.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why we also do the downstream troll. You can troll upstream, but going downhill, you nailed it. You get a lot more ground coverage. And in an area that they're not really holding, the more more miles you can cover, the better.
Yeah. Well, pretty cool stuff. We appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you from football and your new son too long, but if you could give us some contact numbers. I know you send out the email. If people are interested in that, with the updated fishing reports and photos, they can probably contact you through your website at www.thesportfisher.com. Is that right?
That's right. And okay. Then, of course, you know, always hit me on the phone. And up here in Sacramento, 916-388-1956.
All right. We've got that number here. So if you want to call us during the break or after the show, feel free. JD, take care. Good fishing to you. Hope you have a great fall.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the report.
You bet.
And, you know, I don't know, Alan. I don't think we're going to go into a break this show.
Well, unfortunately, it looks like the computer's having a little problem in the control room there. But we can at least take the opportunity to thank the wonderful sponsors that make this show possible. We wouldn't have the show, folks, if it wasn't for the sponsors and the businesses that have supported us, for many of them, for years and years.
Good point. I'm writing you a note. What Alan and I do a lot of times during the break is we regroup and kind of get our thoughts together. But you know what? We've done this enough years where we can pull it off. And you know what? On that note, Alan, I'd like to do the same thing you mentioned, which is thank Dave Dawson. He's a realtor, an agent with Bailey Properties. And you know what? If you or anyone you know is interested in real estate, whether buying or selling, I can highly recommend Dave Dawson. He worked in the Harbor for many, many years. Fantastic resource in the community. Great with customer service. Knox Roofing also. Warren Knox, real gentleman, avid sportsman. And if you need roof repair, now is the time. Get that work done. Don't wait till the first rains. And Alan has had work done with Knox Roofing, and we recommend him. Bayside Marine right here in Santa Cruz, a great resource of information, a lot of variety of tackle, bait, ice, beer soda, you name it, before you go out, or check out his website as well, up-to-date reports, photos, I check it daily, so a great resource. Say hi to Todd, Grandpa, or any of the guys at Bayside Marine. The Santa Cruz Harbor has been kind enough to support our show, and we're proud to have them because I'm very partial to fishing out of Santa Cruz, as any of you that listen know. So come on down. Check out the Santa Cruz Harbor. There's a lot of great shops, bakeries, restaurants, as well as very good fishing and a good friend.
And a great launch ramp.
That's right. The ramp has been rebuilt, but there's just a lot of resources down in the harbor and a lot of nice local folks, so swing on down there. Again, our friend, and he visited the show the other night, Pete Middlecoff for financial solutions ranging from IRAs, Roth IRAs, education funds, retirement funds, you name it. Pete Middlecoff right there off of 41st Avenue at Solomon Smith & Barney. You can trust Pete and get sound financial advice from him. Also, yours truly, Mike Baxter, now an agent with Farmers Insurance. I do health care, boats, homes, autos, you name it. Farmers is a great company. I'm proud to be with them. So you can always feel free to call me and just get a quote and know that you're not going to get a high-pressure sales pitch, but great customer service from myself. And I am doing the raffle, again, a CalStar fishing rod with a pin reel on it. And just give me a call. Get a quote for a boat, home, auto, whether you need new insurance or not, or you just want to get a competitive quote. It's always a good thing to do. Just check your rates with Farmers. And what I'll do is put your name in the hat, and I'm going to raffle off that brand new CalStar rod and pin reel. So contact me here at the station or on my cell phone. And that number is 831-588-9577. And let's keep rolling here. It looks like we've got a couple people calling. But, again, we'd like to thank the sponsors. And you know what? A big thank you to you guys for listening. Hi, Alan. I get a lot of comments on the street or here and there from people that listen to the show. And again, no one of us knows more than all of us. And that's why we have the show. Luckily, it's not really about Alan and myself, although I do want to hear more about Alan's halibut. But, you know, we really feel proud to be a part of the station. And there's a big sense of community as we do the show.
Yeah, and I you know, Mike, it feels so good when I meet somebody on the street or at the bait shop or at the bicycle shop, and they let me know that they listen to the show and they look forward to this show, and it's you know, makes it feel really worthwhile to come down here every Thursday. Not that, I mean, I enjoy it more than anything, but you know, just gives that little extra bit. And
you got it.
Looking forward to next year already.
Yep. A big thanks to the sponsors and the listeners. Let's check in with one of the sponsors and well, a good fisherman, and that's Captain Jimmy aboard the Becky Ann, beautiful six-pack boat and island hopper right here in the Santa Cruz Harbor, and we'll find out what he's been up to. I think he's been lurking around his secret halibut holes, but we'll find out. Captain Jimmy, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Doing real good.
How's the whiskers doing over there?
Luckily, you can probably tell. I kept notioning to him, like, Alan, when you drink the water or you get too close to the mic, we can hear the beard scraping against the mic. So, you know, it's smooth. I didn't touch it, but he has got a smooth chin on him, and he is, I don't know if he's happier to get rid of the beard or eating that fresh halibut. But
I don't know if we're going to call him whiskers or baby face.
Well, the tuna have been playing hard to get, but what's going on along the coast?
There's plenty of rock cod wide open.
Really?
Yeah, we got a few halibut last week.
Did you?
Chad Woods and Brian Littrip, they were fun to fish with.
Boy, that Chad gets around. I mean, one week he's with Stagneros, he's with the Queen of Hearts, and so
yeah.
You were lucky enough to have him on your boat too, huh?
Yeah, he was with Kenny, and then he went with me, and then he went with Queen of Hearts, and then he went with, I think he went over to Randy's, or no, not Randy's, he went to...
Oh, maybe the Kahuna in Moss.
Kahuna.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Did he bring you luck or skill?
I don't know. They lost some gear.
They were tapping bottom a little
bit. Yeah,
too
much. They were.
I will have to remind him that next time he calls again. That's Chad Woods from SportFishingReport.com.
Yeah.
A great guy and a real good fisherman. Give us a kind of a brief insight here along the coastal waters north of Santa Cruz, whether guys are looking for rockfish, lingcod, or halibut, Jim.
Yeah, it's been really pretty much wide open. You know, we got beat up at New Year's last week, a couple days, and came down on Kitty Reef there and got some really nice reds.
Nice.
Up to 8-9 pounds.
Uh-huh. Now, 2 weeks ago, Ken Stagnaro was talking about cooler inshore water, and he had a feeling some of these big lingcod and vermilion, the big red rockfish, were migrating in from the deep water. Are you seeing some of those fish?
Absolutely. Nice big reds.
Wow.
I mean, giants. I mean, really, really nice fish.
And Alan was talking about the big... California halibut that seemed to take the stage there off the beaches up north of Santa Cruz, 4 Mile Beach up to Davenport, and for the adventurous ones, even up to Scott Creek or Waddell Creek. Are you seeing some of the big halibut move in?
Real nice ones, real nice halibut. I think we're going to have a late season with them. I think it's going to be really good because the draggers on the outside are not getting anything right now.
And what are you using for them? Are you catching them on scampies or using live bait?
We're using nice anchovies. Bocce has over there, nice 6-inch ones.
Oh, okay.
Beauty.
So a lot of that 3- and 4-inch bait that was popular in Santa Cruz, the majority of what the guys were catching now. You know, Bocce Boy's been a real resource for that live bait there on S-Dock.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Generous scoops. You know, too, he is just a gentleman. The amount of years that guy has commercially fished, and you pull up there, and he looks you in the eye and serves you up some live bait at a reasonable price, and he always offers a tip on where to go or to do. So,
yeah. You know, the other day I went out there and I told him I said I didn't need much bait, so he kept on pouring bait in my tank, you know, more bait than I wanted.
I'm sure you made use of it, Jimmy.
Oh, I did.
All right. Now, on a political note, there's always some kind of gossip or politics going on in the harbor, any harbor for that matter. But now in Santa Cruz Harbor, I know the commissioners, I think they're heading up for a new election for commissioners. What do you know about that, and who should we keep an eye on?
You know, we have a really great guy for fishermen and for the harbor. Full support, Dennis Smith.
Oh, really? Dennis is running. Okay.
Yeah, you know Dennis.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him. We'll get an interview from him on the show here either next week or the week after.
Yeah, he's a super guy. He's, you know, he just doesn't run off at the mouth. You know, he knows what he's talking about before he talks.
Yeah.
And he's been to all of these meetings every single year now for the last 4 years.
Wow.
Every month.
He's been very, I believe he's retired now, and he's very active in the harbor, and we can use it. So, you know, that's a great tip. I'm going to see. We only have a few shows left here for the season, but maybe we'll get him as a guest speaker and talk more about that.
No, he's a good guy.
Okay. He sounds like a great guy. He sounds a lot like you and I, only quite a bit different.
Yeah.
real
quick, you know what? I had to do one more stupid fishing trip. Was probably worse than a tuna trip.
We're all ears.
I went salmon fishing.
How'd you do?
Nothing.
Well, you know, if it's a stupid trip, I sure was curious, wasn't I? I'm curious about salmon, too. Did you catch some mackerel?
We got 10 mackerel.
I'll tell you, there's been a lot of mackerel out there. But, you know, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And there is a chance of late-season salmon out there at Soquel Hole, of all places. We've been doing good in the late season out of Santa Cruz.
Well, you know what? The fish are not there. They're over in Pajaro.
Okay.
Yeah. A commercial friend of mine got 15.
All right.
No.
Now, a lot of these late-season fish are the ones, thank goodness, to the Monterey Bay Salmon Trout Project. Now, again, they let go a quarter million up to 260,000 king salmon out of the Monterey and Santa Cruz Harbor. So these fish tend to hang out in the cool water along the deep canyon edges. As summer turns to fall, they start coming out of the deep water. And they're there. They're good-sized fish, so don't underestimate
the chance.
Oh, they're
there. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're definitely there.
All right.
You know, I hope that we have this good run up in Sacramento, but I have this gut feeling that these fish are resident fish.
Yeah, well, you know, they're the ones that show up in the harbor in the fall during the first rain, so they don't go anywhere. They're looking for cool water. They're right outside of Santa Cruz at the tip of the hole is a good spot, outside of Moss Landing in the Pajaro Canyon. And the Monterey fish don't really show up because the deep water is harder to find, but sometimes they see them outside the Portugee Ledge out there or even on the Mulligan Hill side of the bay along the canyon edge. In the meantime, Jimmy, you stay out of trouble. And thanks for giving us a call. And give us some contact information, whether you want to go fishing with our pal Captain Jimmy aboard the Becky Ann or his running partner Jerry Brooks aboard the Doble. Give us the phone numbers, Jim.
It's 831-662-3020.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, thanks for your support for the show this season. I know it's tough times for all of us, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah. Well, you have a good night and catch some fish this weekend.
You too. Okay, Alan.
Bye. Bye, Jimmy.
All right. Always good to check in with him. You know, I keep wanting to say we're going to go into a break, but we're not. And I just can't help but be excited and a sense of security because I've got Senior Tuna on the line. And, I mean, he's going to be a wealth of information for us. So rather than going to the break before we talk to him, let me just mention that Lake Nacimiano has been a sponsor to the show. And that's a great spot to go. It's really not far for the families, whether they like to fish, camp, and or do the watercraft, wakeboarding, you name it. Lake Nacimiano is a great spot to go to. Outdoor World, I've been hearing their ads on the show on KSCO also. But I love Outdoor World. I mean, one of my favorite gift certificates, present is a gift certificate to Outdoor World. There's so much there, whether you ski, backpack. I know the fall hunting right now is real popular, so you can always get your big game tags there and the proper hunting gear as well as camping stuff. I know I'm stocked up with the camping gear, so Outdoor World is a great spot. Again, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing right here in Santa Cruz, two lovely six-pack boats. ICOM radios, you know, when I personally think about getting a VHF radio, only one brand comes to mind, and that's ICOM. For safety, longevity, and just really good performance for marine VHFs, think ICOM. Central Valley Marine, Brett Townsend, the guys, Sam, all the guys at Central Valley Marine, a big thanks to you, home of the beautiful Grady White boats, Yamaha outboards. He's got really good sale prices right now on the Yamahas, so whether you want a kicker or a repower, you definitely should check in with him. He also has a few 18-foot Grady Whites right now, the 06 models, kind of getting towards the year end, so it's time to negotiate and look at getting a new boat. Now is a good time as far as pricing goes. What I wanted to do also is check in with, as I mentioned, Steve Carson, or otherwise known as Senior Tuna, and find out what he's up to. He's always a great source of information. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about you?
We're doing real good. I don't know where to start with. I was thinking maybe you could fill us in right there on your home turf, find out how the Feather River is for salmon. We talked to J.D. Ritchie earlier in regards to salmon on the Sacramento. But what's going on in the Feather River for salmon?
Well, the Feather's been pretty good as long as you like company. Salmon fishing is definitely a social sport there. And for those who like to go elbow to elbow up in the outlet throwing beads, there definitely are a lot of fish up in there. And you can pretty much limit out if you know what you're doing. And even if you don't, you're gonna hook several fish and have a battle and have at least a chance to land them. If you're not so much into the beading or the elbow-to-elbow action, you can fish kind of across on what they call the gravel bar or the horseshoe and the island. And if you get there early, not too early, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but if you get there early in the morning, there's actually a pretty good bite on the spinner still. And it's way late in the season for that to be, you know, as good as it's been, but it's good. And that's, you know, that's almost like real fishing, unlike beading.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing, the big kind of problem that's happening now is, you know, because, you know, the days are getting shorter, the year is getting long, and people are trying to squeeze a little bit more fishing into a lot less daylight. And on the Oriole Wildlife Area there where the Feather River is, the rules are extremely strict. They open 1 hour before sunrise, and they close 1 hour after sunset. That doesn't mean you just have to stop fishing or that you're out of the water. You have to be out of the wildlife area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the rangers are just sitting there with their watch and their book of tickets, and they're nailing people.
So now, in the old days, we used to just camp right there in the wildlife area.
No more.
Okay. All right. And I think you might have been giving people the benefit of the doubt when you said they were stretching their fishing time. So, you know, I remember times back people were, you know, legitimately just trying to fish at night, or times they weren't. So it's time to behave, shape up, be an honorable sportsman, and it sounds like get out of that area. You definitely can't spend the night there anymore.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. And some people are making that mistake. They're thinking, oh, 1 hour after sunset, no problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at 59 minutes after sunset, they're coming out of the water in their waders.
Yeah.
That's, and they're going, what do you mean sign here, officer?
Okay, so beware. That's good.
That's a big one.
Yeah, a lot of us travel up there from, you know, this area in the fall to go get some roe for steelhead fishing, so be careful of that.
And speaking of steelhead, a couple of guys did manage to catch some steelhead on their beads, so there was a little bit of effort by the hardcore group. They kind of switched over, throwing roe and throwing some flies. And there are definitely, the steelhead are up and they're active, and there's even been one or two, pretty unusual for the feather, larger wild fish over 10 pounds, hooked at least, not necessarily landed. So we may be looking at a better than average steelhead year. It's shaping up that way.
Uh-huh. And I know you cover the dove opener. Last week we checked in with Chad Woods from sportfishingreport.com. He was enjoying the anticipation of the dove opener. Did you hear any reports of that from your area, Steve?
Yeah, it was definitely better than average. It seems like the last 3 or 4 years, one day before the opener, there's been some sort of not really a cold snap, but a cooling trend, or a little bit of a rain drizzle will move through just for an hour or two, and that's enough to send the bulk of the doves south. Just that little bit of reminder that winter's coming. But this year it basically stayed hot and dry, although, and it still is, and so we had very good shooting for the opener, and I think for the second weekend, which characteristically is not very good, we're actually going to have pretty good shooting again this weekend.
Okay. And how about heading downriver to the coast? And let's first talk about an up-and-coming event that you and I get to share together, as Ken Stagnaro draws me out of my charter boat retirement, and I fill in for him while he enjoys, anniversary week with his lovely wife. I'll be running the Velocity out of Santa Cruz here a couple days, and you and I get to reunite with some Penn Fishing University trips, is that right?
Yeah, that's going to be on October the 1st, which is a Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, we'll have our usual batch of prizes and stuff and goodies for everybody to play with, and of course if you don't want your picture taken and published in the Fish Sniffer, don't be on the boat, because I'm going to be there with my camera and my notepad and as long as you've got your parole officer's permission, it's probably okay to go fishing.
Yeah, but be careful if you call in sick and you normally work Sundays.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not going to be a secret fishing trip that nobody knows about.
It might be documented. Now, I hate to put you on the spot, but I always do. What are we looking at for prizes? Any of the I want to try some of that fun stuff from Berkeley. Is any of the Berkeley products going to be?
Well, yeah. I'm going to have, for the jackpot winner, I'm going to have a Penn Jig Master and a rod. Of course, kind of the standard thing. You've seen me give that away many, many a time. And then I'll have some nice, if just for being in the jackpot. Now, I know nobody's going to get skunked. I mean, it's just, unless they get seasick or they got the flu or something and they sleep the whole trip, nobody's going to be skunked. But even if you catch nothing, everybody that's in the jackpot is going to have a chance at some nice prizes. I got tackle boxes from Flambeau. Oh, here's a good one, Mike. This is something new that you haven't seen me do before. I now have the Al Backcore Tackle Box True Sportsman Award, and the crew gets to vote for the passenger who displayed the best sportsmanship of the trip, and that person gets a little pin and an Albacore tackle bag.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's fun. I think that's a great idea. Talking saltwater, fun fishing. Take us down south. What's the gossip? I know the long-range boats are doing 5 to probably getting ready to do 7, even 10-day trips as fall starts to prevail. What do you know about the South Coast warm water fishing?
Well, it's kind of weird. Actually, for the local San Diego boats, the one-day boats, there's no tuna of any species, pretty much. They're catching, you know, a decent amount of yellowtail and Dorado, but no yellowfin, no bluefin, and obviously definitely no albacore. But, you know, once you get into the two-day range, there's a little smattering of smaller yellowfin. You know, they're 10, 12-pound fish. But once you get into that multi-day down at Guadalupe, they're getting excellent scores on anywhere from 40 to 125-pound fish. You know, some of the boats, I mean, it's, you know, it's fishing. Some of the boats catch 15 fish a day, and some of them catch 90 a day. And, of course, the tax collector is out in force at Guadalupe. And, of course, I'm a big fan. As long as they eat my fish where I can see them, I never have to land a fish. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I wonder how many great white sharks there are, and they have to be, you know, on a 16 to 18 footers, which look like they're 20 to 25 feet in the water.
Oh, yeah, they're just monsters. And I guess there's been some what people are calling Discovery Channel moments, quite a few of them in the last 2 weeks or so, where these big sharks have just been airborne chasing tuna or coming up on tuna. And again, if you've never seen it, if you've only seen it on TV, it's hard to even describe what a magnificent creature this thing is. And I'm assuming everybody that's a listener to the show has an appreciation for the creatures of the sea. And this one, I'll tell you what, they're the boss. They're the king.
You know, it's an awesome sight when a fisherman spends thousands of dollars to go on a 5 or 7 day trip, and they run out, 200 miles offshore to Guadalupe Island. They catch a trophy yellowfin tuna, maybe 70, maybe 100, 150 pound tuna, fight it for an hour, and then a great white shark engulfs it in two bites right under the boat, and they're almost like, yes.
Yeah, that's my only rule. They have to eat him. They have to eat my tuna or I can see them do it. And I don't care if I ever land one.
I think every year you email me photos, and they're always so awesome. Well, any other tidbits for us, Senior Tuna?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what else at Guadalupe. They have been getting, for that far north, a fair little whack on the wahoo. I mean, you know, no more than two or three a day. Not exactly wide open fishing, but the fact that they're catching any is really pretty unusual that far north. So I would say that portends very well for our wahoo season once those boats do really start to strike out on those 8 and 10 day trips. And as far as whether or not the giant tuna are going to bite again this year on the 10 day trips, you know, your crystal ball's as good as mine. if it happens, I'll be ecstatic. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be let down, although I know some people will be. You know, there'll be something else to catch. And people maybe are going to have a little bit unrealistic expectations that they're going to be out and it's just going to be a red-hot albacore-style boil on 200-pound fish.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
That's right.
You know, you can't expect that. And you can't be let down when it doesn't happen.
Okay. And on a fun note for you and your friends, family, you name it, a great fishing trip. It's brought to you by, again, Steve Carson and the Penn Fishing University. What is this? It's an educational experience with tons of prizes and a good time to be had for anyone. And I'll be running the boat. It's the Velocity out of Stag Narrow Fishing Trips. It'll be Sunday, October 1st, and you can book a trip by contacting our friends there at Stag Narrow Fishing Trips, which is 831-427-2334. That link is also on the Let's Go Fishing website. So, Steve Carson, take care. Thanks for all the information.
Thanks a lot, Mike. See you later, Alan.
You have a good weekend.
Good night, Steve.
And
well, Mike, I'm going to have to check my calendar now for that October 1st.
Oh, I know. I saw you licking your chops.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you.
You were rods and reels.
We're kind of, the sands are dwindling out of the hourglass here. I'd like to kind of cover just a little bit more of the coast, the real overview. As soon as you're done.
Let's do that. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to have you cover, San Francisco Bay Area? We're going to fill in the gaps along the coast. Anything we missed on the Let's Go Fishing Show, we'll fill it in now. If you just tuned in, again, it is the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080. Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell here every week. We will probably be winding the show down at the end of the month, so we've got a few shows left. It's been really nice to be here. Seasonal sponsors, all contingent on the industry that's so fragile that the show just seems to work out best seasonally. We will be hosting the annual perch tournament again. We'll be talking about that in the next few Thursdays to come. Again, a big thanks to the sponsors. Ray Marine has been a proud supporter of the show. They've got some great products, fish finders, chart plotters, autopilots. Live Oak Cafe right up here on Chanticleer on the ocean side of the highway. Easy to access, low traffic environment, great food, pastries, coffee. Stag Narrow Fishing Trips right there on the wharf. Go to Gilda's Restaurant, grab some food before or after your fishing trip, and check in with the Stag Narrows for a bay tour, scatterings at sea, fishing trips, whale watching trips, you name it. Right here, Local Technology Interface. They make the forward scanning sonars, great products. They've helped me catch many a fish. Capitola Boat and Bait, right there on Capitola Wharf, as well as the Santa Cruz Wharf. Rent boats, buy tackle, talk to Ed, Frank, any of the boys. They'll fill you in on what's hot, where to go, and how to do it. Capitola and Santa Cruz Wharfs. Boat and Motor Mart. That's right. They host the beautiful Osprey boats as well as Parker boats. They've got some great kind of end-of-the-season specials right now. I know they have the 25-foot Parker right now that Johnson Hicks outfitted fully, top-to-bottom electronics, outriggers, downriggers, you name it. That's probably the hottest buy right now is that 25-foot 05 model Parker. Beautiful boat. Now, Alan, we checked in Eureka. I know Oregon remains a better spot. Coos Bay on up into northern Oregon and southern Washington for albacore 40 to 60 miles out. Northern California, Crescent City slowed down. Half Moon Bay kicked out 0 to 5, 6, 7, 8 fish per private boat last Friday and Saturday. The new Salmon Queen had a reported score of around 60 fish. Santa Cruz, I didn't get any scores last week. There is some water out of Santa Cruz about 50 miles out, which is almost straight south down there off the Sur Canyon for albacore. The water break outside Half Moon Bay near the Pioneer Seamount has now dissipated a little bit. I think I should be looking on good weather conditions, and when that prevails, heading out of Santa Cruz down towards the Sur Canyon, a lot of times produces fish late season. A quick summary of the weather, the high pressure system, it's kind of a weak surface high pressure system, but it is stabilized on the eastern Pacific. The bay waters, including San Francisco Bay, Monterey Bay, 5 to 15 knot northwest winds. However, the outer waters are going to be a bit blustery here despite fall conditions, 15 to 25 knots. So I can't say that tuna is going to be a hot pick here this weekend. Stay near the coastal waters. Look for the big inshore halibut that tend to bite the live bait, the small mackerel, jack smelt, or large anchovies. Fish the sandy spots for those. And you know what? Catch some rockfish. That's been good. I got back from ab diving last week, and Mendocino water clarity was fair. Ocean conditions were very calm, and yes, even I managed to get a few of those. Alan, what did I miss?
Well, Mike, that was a good synopsis there. If someone wants to go into the bay, there is still some striper fishing and halibut fishing in the normal spots, San Pablo Bay by Loch Lomond Marina, by China Camp, the Sisters and the Brothers Island, and also some salmon going by California City, although they're hard to catch because the water's still a little bit murky and it's a bit windy there in that channel. Just real quick for the overview, going down the coast, Ventura, L.A., in Orange County, it really looks like a calico, bonitos, and yellowtails down there with a little scattering of barracuda if you're heading in that direction. So there's lots of places to go fishing this weekend. The important thing is to remember to be safe and have fun.
That's right. And again, thanks for tuning in to Let's Go Fishing Show. You can listen to the show archived at Ship to Shore Radio. Also listen to fishermen while they're fishing and transmitting, calling each other in regards to San Francisco Bay, Half Moon Bay, and Monterey Bay area. Again, that's Ship to Shore Radio, or sportfishingreport.com for any fishing trips along the coast. Check out recent fish scores. Also, the show is archived there. Most of the sponsors and callers, their links and phone numbers are, thanks to Alan for putting it together, on our own site, which is the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show.com, which, if I don't get in trouble saying it, as I usually do, it's a long name, but amazing results. You've got to check it out. as Alan mentioned, have safe, be fun, and be proud, be a sportsman, go out there, go fishing, and if you don't fish and you just like to do tune into us for the colorful characters that we get calling into the show, we appreciate that. A big thanks to Chris Spencer running the board, everyone here at KSCO for making it possible, as well as the sponsors, and again, a friendly, competitive quote from yours truly. If you're interested in auto rates, farmers rates are real good for autos, homes, we do write boat insurance also. Please contact me, and you can find a link there on our main page to the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy it.
Local news and the best in talk radio. AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340, KLMY Watsonville. Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080.